Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Well, it's been a bit of a turbulent week, just in terms of the back and forth whiplash, that has been the political scene in the U.S. and throughout the world. There was the Davos assembly this week in which rich people get together and talk about money. And in this case, it was highlighted, if you could call it that, by Donald Trump talking for 72 minutes about a bunch of absolute nonsense. Well, I try and usually touch on a wide variety of topics on Fridays revolving around fascism. And while that is still going to be the case today, the majority of this episode is going to be focused on the quick escalations that are happening in the U.S. around Trump's version of the Gestapo, which is ICE. I think this week marks a bit of a escalation or a change, a shift in tone that is important to discuss here. And I'm going to do it through the use of several different articles, each highlighting a different aspect of what's going on and how Donald Trump is trying to intimidate his dissenters by use of force and illegal force at that. So to begin, I'm going to go to the Brooklyn Park Police Chief, Mark Brulee, who in a press conference said, "We're hearing people being stopped with no cause and being demanded to show paperwork to determine if they're here legally. We started hearing from our police officers the same complaints. Every one of these individuals is a person of color." The police chief talks about how his own off-duty police officers were being stopped and checked, papers demanded, which goes against the Fourth Amendment. You do not have to carry proof of citizenship in the United States. You do not have to carry papers with you or present those papers. You do not have to present ID unless you are being questioned, you know, in the commission of a crime or something along those lines. Brooklyn Park is in Minneapolis, and it has been interesting, to say the least, to try and navigate the dynamics between ICE and just federal forces and the local police departments. Many questions arise about how police will react. Are they going to protect citizens? Are they going to aid ICE? Are they going to stay out of it completely? For the most part, it's been staying out of it, mixed in a little bit with helping ICE. Seems to be where they are leaning towards, not helping the people, which is no surprise, though things like this start to bring up more questions, right? As the police chiefs come out and say, hey, what's actually being done here is not legal, and it's affecting us as well. Police departments are frustrated because ICE is not coordinating with them. The Department of Homeland Security is not letting local departments know how many ICE agents are coming or where they're coming or anything like that. So they're basically contradicting, causing problems for those police departments. The number of 911 calls in Minneapolis have increased dramatically over the last few weeks as people are calling in panicked about being stopped by masked men, about doors being knocked on for injuries and all sorts of different things that ICE is causing, and it's causing a headache for the police. You would think that if you were the federal government that you would want to keep the police on your side and work hard to make sure that they help serve you, right? They are a major force in these local jurisdictions. They know the area inside and out, and they have already systematized the oppression often that police forces do. So to be at odds with that is an interesting choice, and I think that it will have consequences, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over time. Now, a memo was leaked from 2025 in which, according to the AP News, it says, "Immigration officers assert sweeping power to enter homes without a judge's warrant," memo says. So essentially, ICE sent out a memo to their officers saying, "You are allowed to enter a person's home without a warrant." That is 100% not true. That is not legal. And yet we have seen that being done time and time again, and they believe that they have this sort of immunity that J.D. Vance and Stephen Miller have said that they have. We've seen them trespassing on properties. There was a video of them hopping a fence, attacking a man because he asked for a warrant. They are taking the opportunity to do whatever they want, wherever they want, outside of the law. They're also trying to stop people from filming. An article states that the feds create drone no-fly zone that would stop people filming ICE. They have also declared they're trying to make it illegal to film ICE. And if that doesn't signal massively, you know, what's going on, the fact that they do not want to be held accountable, they do not want anyone to see or to disseminate what they're doing, is a massive problem in and of itself. This article in the Mirror US says Department of Homeland Security claims it's, quote, illegal to film ICE agents. Federal courts and First Amendment says otherwise. Videos posted to social media show ICE agents in Minnesota telling observers to stop recording, while some say they've been detained for filming, but federal courts have ruled it's not illegal. Meanwhile, according to ABC News, lawyers allege that the Department of Homeland Security is denying legal counsel to Minnesota detainees. We already know that they're hiding evidence in the case of Renee Good, doing everything they can to obscure the facts. They're detaining people, and in this case, denying them legal counsel. And we have seen and heard time and time again that people are being detained and disappeared. They cannot find them. According to the Supreme Court of the United States, quote, speaking Spanish and looking Latino is enough to detain. This is just referring back to the Kavanaugh ruling in September 8th of 2025, which are, you know, people call these Kavanaugh stops now. Basically, if a person is speaking Spanish and looks like they're Latino, that might be enough to detain them, he says. This Bloomberg video features Harvard Law's Noah Feldman on the institutional breakdown enabling unchecked immigration enforcement, why ICE is facing no legal checks. It's a great little breakdown in this post and in the video, so I will share that source in the description of the episode. According to NBC News, judges have ordered that federal agents stop pepper spraying and retaliating against peaceful Minnesota protesters. The ruling in a case from December applies to federal agents participating in immigration enforcement under Operation Metro Surge. Basically, they said if people are protesting peacefully, if they're not breaking the law, they're not rioting, then you cannot use force. You cannot pepper spray them. You cannot retaliate in any way. ICE is not riot control. They are not crowd control. They have one job, which is to enforce border and immigration laws, not to pepper spray, you know, people lying prone on the ground. And there were several examples since this ruling of people being pepper sprayed or shot with pepper balls or less lethal from very short ranges, which can make those weapons deadly. One video shows somebody pinned to the ground with their arms behind their back and then pepper sprayed while they're laying on the ground. Several other videos and photos show similar incidents where pepper spray is being deployed from very short distances in moments that are completely unnecessary. One video showed Bovino, the short little Nazi wannabe guy, throwing a smoke grenade. He's clearly doesn't know what he's doing. It takes him forever to get the pin out. He throws it not very far, and immediately the wind blows all of the smoke back onto his own officers. This is smoke, which, by the way, has been determined to likely be a carcinogen. And it just really feels like they are cosplaying, having fun, committing as much violence as they possibly can. Trump, meanwhile, has continued to threaten to use military over the Minnesota anti-ICE protests. This is in Reuters. He has basically put 1,500 soldiers on standby. He continues to threaten that he would invoke the Insurrection Act, that he has it up his sleeve, that it would make it very easy for him to bring the military in to do essential, you know, police work in Minneapolis if he so desired. He's already sent around 3,000 federal officers to Minneapolis, has said that he would send more, and then on top of that, of course, now this military intervention. An article from StitchSnitches.com highlights that no, ICE agents do not have absolute immunity from state prosecution, despite what J.D. Vance would have you believe. His public statement, Vance's, he said, the precedent here is very simple. You have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action. That's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job. The article goes through and talks about the actual legality of immunity, precedent, where it comes from, all of that, and the fact that in this case, it is absolutely untrue. And in this case, specifically of Renee Good, Trump officials have said that the FBI will not be investigating this killing by the ICE agent. In fact, they were going to investigate Good herself and her fiance. They have refused to pass on any of the information or evidence from the crime scene to state officials. making it very difficult, if not impossible, for them to bring charges against the officer. And this is really eye-opening for other ICE officers who might commit similar acts of murder, essentially saying, we will protect you from a federal level. Do whatever it is you've got to do. Now, there's an attorney general named Chris Mays out of Arizona, and in an interview this week, she warned that Arizona's Stand Your Ground law could create a combustible situation with masked ICE agents. Essentially, what she's saying is, hey, in Arizona, if you have a reasonable belief that your life is in danger and you're in your house or your car or on your property, that you can defend yourself with lethal force. We've seen in Minneapolis time and time and time again where masked agents with no identification doing things completely unconstitutionally and against the law are encroaching on people's properties. This is happening not just in people's vehicles, but in their homes, in their yards. And in Arizona, if the above standards are met that I just mentioned, a person has no duty to retreat prior to using deadly force in any place where an individual may legally be, not just on private property. So, you know, what this is talking about, this is Axios, by the way, saying that May's comments could escalate tensions between federal officials, state leaders, and protesters as expectations of large-scale ICE raids in Arizona build. It's interesting to note that the United States is a very large place, and every state has its own laws. Each state or area or region has a different set of cultures, cultural beliefs. People will act and behave differently based on where you are. And this rings very true in regards to ownership of weapons and belief in Second Amendment rights. So the point is that as ICE spreads throughout the U.S., they are likely going to be encountering different types of resistance. And in Arizona, Mays seems to believe that there is very real possibility that these stand your ground self-defense laws could make a major impact, and it will certainly, you know, increase tensions and be a potential flashpoint. On that note, it has been seen this week that ICE is making a big push outside of Minneapolis, where the target has been up to this point. There have been videos of semis hauling multiple vehicles into Atlanta, ICE vehicles seemingly preparing to increase the number of people there. In Phoenix, Philadelphia, and Maine, there has been expectations for an increase in ICE presence. Now, you know, the normal headcount for ICE is about 20,000 total officers. 3,000 of those are in Minneapolis alone. And, you know, you have thousands of officers spread out throughout the United States, probably only numbering in the dozens or hundreds in most locations, simply because, again, the U.S. is so big. Now, that said, there has been a mass influx, or at least a mass push for hiring for ICE by the Trump administration. People have very astutely noted that we have not heard from any of the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, and so on and so forth, numerous different white supremacist groups, likely because they're all being brought into ICE. In 2016, Donald Trump said, stand back and stand by, referring to those groups, which looking back on that now, that sure seems like saying, hey, get prepared, because one day you're going to be paid and paid very well to commit these acts with a federal mandate and with, quote, absolute immunity. It is terrifying to consider that. In 2016, those groups were pariahs, right? White supremacist groups that would march through the streets and cause terror. Those individuals are now continuing to march the streets, causing terror, but under a bulletproof vest that says ICE and with federal sanctioned weapons and, quote, absolute immunity. Now, in addition to those, talked recently about how ICE is not being super careful about who they are bringing on. They're not paying that much attention. They are not honoring drug tests. They just want numbers, and they want as many people as they can get who are loyal to the Trump administration and willing to commit acts of violence. I don't know what the numbers are. Has it surged past that 20,000 and how much? They are only training them for 47 days, which means that somebody hired only a month and a half ago is already in the streets with weapons. They're offering these massive bonuses, huge salaries. Their budget is one of the largest budgets in the world. It's larger than many military budgets throughout the world. So they have the money. If they can continue to recruit and if it functions properly, then we will start to see an influx of thousands of agents in multiple cities throughout the U.S. Now, it doesn't just stop at harassing people in the streets. It doesn't stop at even just detaining them. While yes, many are detained and let go, many are not. Many are taken to detention centers where they are disappeared, where they are not given legal counsel, and in some cases, where they are killed. According to Oregon Live, quote, ICE says a man died in a suicide attempt. The medical examiner says it will likely be ruled a homicide. This is not the first, quote, suicide that has happened, even at this one detention center in Texas, which popped up recently. They basically, somebody dies. We don't know exactly what's happening. Were they brutally murdered? Were they neglected? Were they tortured? But the administration just gets to say, oh, they committed suicide. They didn't want to have to go back to their country. And yet, in this case, an independent medical examiner is saying this looks like homicide. This was, in this specific case, a Cuban immigrant. It says here that it was an altercation with guards, but the federal government has provided a differing account saying that he was attempting suicide and staff tried to save him. Some other specific examples here from the Washington Post. ICE put an ankle monitor on a U.S. citizen who provided them with her birth certificate. She was in detention for an extended period of time, and they still are monitoring her, even though they have absolutely no right to do that. There were photos this week of a very young child being detained by ICE. This child was taken from his home, was taken to a detention center, and was not seen for multiple days. And the photo is heartbreaking. A small child with a little beanie on, and somebody's description of it absolutely crushed me. His name's Liam. He is 5 years old. And the photo shows him standing by one of the patrol cars with an ICE agent with his hand on his backpack. He's wearing a beanie with floppy bunny ears with little strings and balls hanging to the side. And somebody said, I don't have it pulled up right now, but basically all they can think about is this child and how excited he must have been when he first received that hat and the smiles and giggles and laughs that he must have had as he put it on. That it's one of those hats that when you pull the strings down, the ears flop up. And the juxtaposition of that thought of this small preschool-aged child now being detained by ICE in that same hat, looking absolutely terrified as he's being ripped away from his family, sent who knows where for who knows how long. And this when ICE is claiming to simply be getting rid of the worst of the worst. I think this has made me more angry and more upset than anything else that I've seen in a while. And this type of thing is emboldening fascists around the country outside of just ICE. Another video was posted of a woman in Miami Beach, Florida, who left a comment on Facebook criticizing the mayor of that city. The mayor of Miami Beach then sent the police to her home. And this video shows the police confronting her, showing her the comment, talking to her about it, harassing her for it. There was nothing wrong with the comment. It was free speech. She was not threatening in any way. It's just intimidation and bullying. These are violations to constitutional rights. Donald Trump has taken the Constitution and he has shredded it to bits, and it is enabling people around this nation, the police force, ICE, and other federal agents, to do whatever they want. And it's not going to stop until people stand up and make it stop. For years, the left has been making comparisons to Hitler and his form of fascism, and that has been ridiculed. It's been labeled as being hyperbolic, inflammatory, etc., etc. It's no longer even a question, especially because those in the Trump administration are fully embracing it. Like I mentioned, he is walking around dressed in the same type of cloaks and clothing Nazi officers wore. The assistant chief counsel for ICE is a Hitler lover, according to one post, not in an oh my gosh, literally Hitler sense, but has a literal admiration for Hitler. He posted on X. He's essentially reposting someone that said, a quote from Hitler, "We tolerate no one in our ranks who attacks the ideas of Christianity. Our movement is Christian," quoted from Hitler 1928. The poster said, "This kind of thing used to be career ending. It should still be career ending. One day it will be career ending again, I have hope." We have Trump, who this week said that sometimes you just need a dictator. He likes to say that, the media is coming after him for being this way or that, and they call him a dictator. And then he just said, yeah, you know what? Sometimes you need a dictator. There is no more question. There should be no more doubt. At some point, I believe the American people are going to be pushed too far and they are going to react. And I don't know what will happen in that moment. I don't know how far that will go, what course that will take. But I do believe that a people will only withstand so much. All right, moving on from ICE. Just have a couple little things left I want to mention. The Trump Department of Justice has filed a motion to keep the Epstein files sealed, even though it was put into law by the President of the United States and unanimously through the Senate and House, except for one single representative. They are attempting to hide and seal this information. They've released only 1% of it. They're already in violation of the law. And the Justice Department is claiming that Representatives Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie's request for an independent monitor is an overreach. They tried to quietly file this motion that blocks Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie's request for an independent monitor to oversee the release of those Epstein files. We are now over a month past the date that they were supposed to all have been released, and we've seen up to this point pretty much zero consequences for that order being ignored. A Washington Post article states that DOJ employees signed an agreement to share Social Security data with the aim of overturning election results in certain states. Those 20-something-year-old computer science majors who DOJ brought on en masse during those first few months were apparently doing worse than trying to, just make the government more efficient. They were taking U.S. citizen Social Security data and selling it or sharing it with that aim of overturning the election results. I don't know exactly, how that is meant to be used to overturn election results. That will take a little bit more looking into to fully grasp. And I think that it's not clear yet exactly what the aim was or how it was going to function. What we do know is that thousands of Americans' data was breached. Trump gave DOJ and Elon Musk access to all of this data, and that data was mishandled. Lastly, Trump himself is reportedly pushing the International Criminal Court to exempt Trump from war crimes prosecution. He is trying to get himself immunity from The Hague. The article says, and this is in truthout.org, the Trump administration is reportedly trying to strong-arm the ICC into changing its founding document to carve out an exception for President Donald Trump and his top officials, ensuring that they are never prosecuted by the court for potential war crimes. U.S. officials are also demanding that the ICC drop its investigations into Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant over charges related to Gaza, as well as a probe into potential war crimes committed by U.S. troops in Afghanistan. According to the admins, there is growing concern that in 2029, the ICC will turn its attention to the president, to the vice president, to the secretary of war, and others, and pursue prosecutions against them. The Trump administration official told Reuters, "That is unacceptable, and we will not allow it to happen." For people who refuse to see this and continue to support Donald Trump and his administration, at this point, there is no walking it back. You have chosen to support this. And one day, when this regime ends, because one day it will end, sadly, those people are most likely going to claim that they always knew he was wrong, that they always knew that he'd be a problem, that they were against all the terrible things that he did. And yet those people in this moment are either silent or they are cheering it on. All that I can hope for is that when all is said and done, there is actual justice brought to these individuals and that there is major change made in our systems. Because otherwise, we are in for decades and decades of a downward spiral caused by the political issues that we're experiencing. Collapse is hard enough as it is. We're going to go through it as it is. All of this mess will do nothing but accelerate and exacerbate the suffering that people will experience. Thanks for being here. See you again next week. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.